Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
What entertains you? Generally speaking, entertainment amuses you, makes you laugh or smile. It gives you pleasure. It also distracts from concern and cares. Entertainers often become famous. You know them, or at least about them, even though in most cases they don't know anything about you, or maybe even that you exist. They are celebrities, and celebrities have fans. Here's a fundamental question regarding the place of on-demand radio in the life of fans for well-known entertainers and personalities. What does podcasting do that other exposure does not? What need does it fill? To ponder this with you today, we're delighted to welcome back the president of Podcast One, Kit Gray. Kit works closely with founder and CEO of Podcast One, Norm Pattis of Courtside Entertainment. Kit Gray has a great track record of success in digital media. He has successfully monetized more podcasts than anyone else in history, having represented programming that exceeds 500 million podcast downloads annually. Consequently, no one has put more revenue in the pockets of podcasters than Kit Gray. He has also worked with media agencies throughout the nation and held management positions with Clear Channel, Verizon, Amped Mobile, and StumbleUpon. Mr. Gray has a BS in Environmental Studies and an MBA in Finance, both from Rollins College. Welcome to the Social Network Show, Kit.
Oh, thanks for having me, everybody.
All right, Kit, thanks again, and how's Beverly Hills these days?
Oh, Beverly Hills is a lot warmer than most of the country right now, so we're pretty happy about that, and it's great. It's sunny and 65 degrees.
Thank you, sir.
Sounds a lot like Las Vegas right now. Well, what I wonder, Kit, if you could kind of fill us in on what the stats are that actually show a rise in popularity of on-demand radio or podcasting. What's been happening with that in context, especially with other media in the same time frame?
Well, recently there's been a lot of press about podcasting and the growth of the on-demand media. Again, it comes back to our earlier conversation of being able to consume it much easier, you know, with cell phones and mobile phones, being able to access your favorite programming on the go makes everybody's life a lot easier. And once you get into the habit and you see how easy it is to access a podcast, and then you get to see all the different channels and personalities and shows and all the different content out there, it's much easier to grab that content and consume it and share it with others. So I think it's been a combination of some great programming coming into the space. Everybody knows about, you know, the great show Serial and the great success that has had, and I think that's elevated the medium a little bit, and we're loving it.
Cool. Do you think that radio is really keeping up? How do you contrast regular listen and get whatever is playing radio with on-demand audio? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. We work with people like DirecTV that has the Dan Patrick radio program that's nationally syndicated, as well as the Rich Eisen show. You know, this is a radio TV program that's syndicated across the country, and we repurpose it as a podcast in an on-demand nature without the commercials in it, just about an hour after it's launched across the nation. So, certain radio station groups are jumping on. You know, there's been some news that I think we'll touch upon about CBS getting into the game, and I think that really, you know, it just shows that what we've known all along, that people will eventually want to listen to what they want to listen to, when they want to listen to, and how they want to listen to. Very much how the DVR has changed people's conception of television.
That is true in history, you might say, because if we think back toward the beginning of electronic recording of music, for instance, it used to be that in order to enjoy music, you needed to be with the musicians. And then because of recording, it became just possible to listen to what you wanted when you wanted it, and in a good quality, too, because, of course, there was some editing involved and bringing out the best and so forth of the entertainers. And the same thing is true of voice and talk. So tell us a little bit more about what you think with regard to CBS. I think it is further validation of the importance of digital on-demand talk, and they call it play.it, play it. Do you think that this is something that is going to enhance it, or how does it affect Podcast One, if I can ask you that?
Sure. I think, you know, ultimately, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do with Play It. I've seen some hints, so they definitely are following a little bit of what we're doing. I think CBS has recognized the importance of the on-demand nature and people listening to what they want when they want. And that's a good thing for Podcast One, because now we have another big player in the space talking about everything we've been talking about for years. And if you read some of the quotes that have come out in the trades from Dan Mason or Ezra, they understand the value of this. Their core business still is radio content, so it'll be interesting how they, monitor the waters, I guess you could say, in terms of seeing, where the value is and where the interest is for advertisers over the long haul, and it'll be interesting for them, and it'll be fun to watch on that front. I'm excited that, you know, a big brand like CBS understands the importance of the medium now. So I think it ultimately will help us. I think we're well along in what we're doing. We're growing quite a bit. We have about 40 major brands that now work with us, on a daily basis to sponsor our podcast. We have some great shows, and we're really excited about how we're positioned, and we're excited to have another a big company involved.
Well, it sounds like what Podcast One has done is ahead of the game, you might say, because Ezra, as you mentioned, the president of CBS Local Digital Media had mentioned that they wanted to bring consumers a unified, easy-to-use platform featuring the best podcasts. And essentially, that's what Podcast One has been doing, is it not?
That is exactly it. And it's funny to see that they have a wrestler on and a Real Housewife on, too. Yeah, they're watching somebody. I'm not sure who it is when they're following their model, for sure.
Well, you're referring to Stone Cold Steve Austin, I take it.
Absolutely. Stone Cold is he's a legend and an absolute giant in the podcasting space, with anywhere from 500 to 700,000 people that listen to his program twice a week. And he has a clean version of his program and an adult-rated version, and it's very successful, and we've actually been able to grow that into some others. So we have, Chris Jericho that is on, and Jim Ross, and, Roddy Piper. So it's been a lot of fun. They have huge fan bases, and, they're very successful in what they're doing. We've expanded into other programming now. We have a great new show with Shale Sonnen, who is an MMA star, and he's seeing 200,000-300,000 people listen to his show on a weekly basis. We're launching new shows all the time. Adam Carolla is doing yet again another podcast with Dennis Miller, which we're really excited about.
The two of them together,
That's going to be a fun one, you know. That'll be an interesting one. They both like to talk a lot, so we'll see how that works.
Well, listen, I have a question about that, as I indicated at the introduction, is what does podcasting, for these folks that have this huge following, what does podcasting do that other exposure doesn't?
Well, I think it's just another way to connect with their fan base. So if you're talking about the consumer as a fan, I now get to listen to someone I really enjoy listening to, and maybe I followed through Facebook or on the TV or on the news, but I now get this podcasting medium, which is a little bit more intimate. You get to connect with your fan base, your community, in a different way. You actually feel, well, you guys know radio more than anybody, or talk radio. You actually feel like you're in the room with them as you're listening, and it's not, you know, something like scripted on TV or in a movie. It's a real intimate experience with your fan base. So,
it might be fun to see some of the late night or early morning talk shows go to the podcast as an adjunct, because not everybody is staying up all night, but they might like to hear them.
Well, I agree with you. I just had a son, and I never sleep anymore, but I still don't have time to listen to those shows. So I don't know how they do that. I don't, you know, it's interesting. There's some great stuff. I remember listening to Phil Hendry, and I think he's just hilarious and just a lot of fun. And, I don't get to listen to him as much, and now he has a podcast program also, which allows me to listen to him when I'm, you know, driving to work at 8 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah, that he is hilarious. So what I'd like to do is talk with you more about how the intimacy, as you mentioned, is going to maybe increase the connection between fans and the celebrities who they follow. And we can do that coming up in the second half of our talk show today. And we're speaking with Kit Gray from Podcast One. And if you haven't tuned into podcastone.com, be sure to do so. And of course, search for The Social Network Show, because you'll find us there too. So we'll be talking with you, Kit. We won't talk about you in our second half. And I also want to find out, how the new fatherhood is going along, and if you're able, one of those people of either gender who can do it all.
I'm going to give it my best shot, for sure.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
As internet technology advances, so does the threat of cybercrime. And the instant you go online, you become vulnerable to dangers such as identity theft, computer viruses, phishing, spyware, and more. In times like these, we must all protect ourselves from cybercrime. Antivirus software, firewalls, and security patches are just the beginning. Never open suspicious emails, only navigate to trusted sites, and change your passwords every 90 days. Back up important files to external storage devices. Tell anyone who uses your computer to be vigilant when downloading from the internet. keep your kids safe on the internet. Teach them never to give out personal information or post information about their school or extracurricular activities. Installing parental control software and monitoring their computer are all good ways to prevent cybercrime. To learn more about cybercrime, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Welcome back to the Social Network Show, where Jim Nico and I are chatting with Kit Gray, president of Podcast One. And Kit, the burning question now from Jim.
Well, how's fatherhood, man? Can you give us some, some personal insights? Anything you want to share? I know you don't sleep, so, anything else?
I have a great wife. I knew that before Jack was born, and I really know it after. She's amazing, and she thank God for her, I'll have to say that. But Jack is, he's doing great. He's really healthy. He's really happy. He's eating a lot. Gaining a lot of weight. I was able to fly back home to Boston with him to see family, and he was fantastic on the flights. And I'm really enjoying being a dad. It's been quite an experience, and I'm looking forward to spending every minute I can with him.
Well, I bet you're a good one too, because you have a kind way about you, and I'm sure Jack appreciates it. But I'll be checking in with him later as he grows and get the objective. And thank you to your wife for helping you. And, of course, ultimately everybody gets helped, I guess, Podcast One, if you're in good shape.
Has he made it to the studio yet?
Yes, he has. He came into the office a couple weeks back. Norm got to hold him and hang out with him. And he's gotten to meet everybody. So, yeah, he's great. And, maybe we'll have him as a guest someday once he learns how to talk.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great, man. By the way, Norm came on, and he was quite a storm in his own right. I don't know if you heard the show, but, he's you guys are competing now,
Oh, I know. He's a true pro. He's been doing it a couple more years than I have, and he really is good at it. I did listen to that program and thought it was a really entertaining one, and a lot of the stuff I've heard before, but he's really a machine. And I think it comes back to the business. This is a guy that built really network radio into what it is now, and he sees this medium just the same way, and he has some real passion for it. And again, this isn't a guy that really needs to do anything. I mean, he could be playing golf every day if he wanted to, but he is in here in this office every day. He's fighting just as I am for our shows to grow and be as big as they possibly can, and fighting for our place in the media spectrum. So it's great working with him. He's a great guy, one of my dear friends, and I love him very much. He's a great man.
No, I'm glad you can work together. That's great. And I want to go into something a little bit more cosmic here, or deep thought. Do you have any deep thoughts, or even shallow ones, on the why of celebrity? I mean, what is it that causes this to happen, and what distinguishes just any wrestler, for example, from those with a huge fan base? Is it just a product of a great PR and marketing team, or do you think there are other factors that make it just happen?
Yeah, I think it's a great story. There has to be a great piece of content behind it. We just recently took on Pauly Shore, and talk about a story. If you don't know Pauly, Pauly was an absolutely massive in the 80s and 90s, and in Hollywood with his place here, and working in one of the biggest comedy stores, and just being just a feature in that world. And Pauly hasn't been at the forefront for a while, but I've gotten to sit with him, and I've gotten to listen to his podcast, and he's had some amazing guests on. But he's got a tremendous story, and I think when you think about podcasting, a lot of it is about the story and fans wanting to know a little bit more, go a little deeper into the lives of people they're very interested in and whoever that may be. You know, we talked about radio and we talked about podcasting, and radio has a great interaction with their community, of course, but I really think that podcasting is just as strong, and I think because a lot of it is built on the internet and the social networking and sharing and taking calls and tweeting and questions, I think it just goes a different level than the radio world could have at that time. So, you know, I think it's all of the above, but really the story is what I think people are really interested in, and that's what they get when they listen to podcasts.
Good point. And of course, we've been talking about people who are already celebrities or have a great following. But on the other hand, too, bloggers, I know Rob Walsh of Libsyn had pointed out that for bloggers, in I think there's over 3,000 women bloggers.
Yeah, 3,600 to one or something.
Yeah,
like that.
There's just one woman podcaster. And so the field is just wide open there for people who are mainly print-oriented, even though it's online, you know, like bloggers and, of course, images. To that really, to me, would bring out the closer, more intimate connection with people, to be able to hear their voice and get their thoughts in. It's not real time, perhaps, but it's audio, and to hear the inflection and so forth. I think that's one of the big advantages it has for people who have been relating to their following simply through printed word.
Oh, and one of the things that was really fluid too is when Norm was on and he was able to announce the Associated Press really powerful evolution for you guys, and congratulations on that. The best of both worlds, having news read right up to the minute in a podcast that may have been recorded hours or even days before. Like I said to Norm, I think it's the best of both worlds, and I think it's just absolutely brilliant that we got that now.
Oh yeah, we're really excited about the Associated Press deal, and to the listeners, what that means is we are going to be serving up to the minute or up to the hour Associated Press 60-second spots through our ad injection technology into some of our biggest and best podcasts on Podcast One. So the second you listen to a podcast, you will actually, even if the podcast was created and recorded months or even years ago, we'll be able to inject the most up-to-date ad story and then throw a sponsorship around it. So we are extremely excited about that, because news has been a challenge for the radio buyers to buy, and we're, again, excited about the content. So that's really interesting for us. We're really excited about that. You mentioned bloggers, and you mentioned, you know, the amount of bloggers that are in the world. And we are actually launching a couple shows that are really interesting this month. The first is This Hollywood Life, which is a huge, huge blogging entertainment site. We actually just launched that show yesterday. You know, they have a huge fan base and a huge following, so we're expecting really good success there. It's a female-based show. And then we're also going to be launching The Chive, which if you're a male in the ages of 20 to 30, you know that brand, and that's a huge blog. So we're getting into that space, and we see it, just as you guys mentioned, an extension of how they communicate with their fan base. And rather than typing and showing pictures and doing that kind of stuff and interacting that way, we now are going to have the ability to take it a different direction and have conversations and interaction with the fan base through questions and real conversations. So we're excited about those two projects.
I was just looking at the podcastone.com site, and you've got the the Hollywood life there at the first beginning, and then going to Pauly Shore. And I want to say I'm really glad to see him there because I met him, so to speak, through Encino Man, which was Brandon, what's his name? Brendan Fraser's.
Brendan Fraser. That was a long time ago.
Yes, it was, but it is still fun. I've got it on the shelf, and it's still fun to watch every once in a while. So
right. Well, he's a great talent, and you know he's got a great story, and you know he's had guys on his podcast like Chris Rock, and you know some great comedians just because he's in that world, and I think your fans might like it. They should check it out.
Yeah, I hope so too. And the idea of going into, I'm just looking at the website again. Of course, you've got Adam Carolla, but Jesse Ventura, and do you think that some of the reason we just love to learn about what's going on in people's lives is sometimes we can see the false steps that they've taken as well as their successes and think, oh, okay, you know, in a way critique, and yet we don't have to have a relationship with them where any attitude is going to really tarnish the relationship or damage the work we're doing with them or something. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's you get the real character, right? You know, when you talk for an hour or even 30 minutes, you know, the real stuff is going to come out. And I think there's a humanization to it, and I think the fan base really likes that. I think I think that's what makes podcasting so attractive to people. And you know, once they come on, I mean, research says people that try a podcast, you know, typically go to the point where they're listening to six different programs or six different shows a week. They're consuming more and more. I think that's just part of it. You know, they love interacting. They love knowing the goods and the bads about the people that they follow and are interested in.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Kit. And we've been talking with Kit Gray of Podcast One. Thanks so much, Kit.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always great being on. All the best to you guys.
Thank you. And thank you, our listeners, for keeping us company today on The Social Network Show, where you hear commentary and analysis of our connected networked world, including practical advice from top business and marketing mentors, news from people combating cyberbullying and abuse, as well as experts on privacy, surveillance, and women and girls empowerment online. Please follow us on Twitter at Social Net Show, and Jim Nego also publishes regularly on LinkedIn, so you can follow him there. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us via questions@thesocialnetworkstation.com. Please have fun and be safe, online and off, until we welcome you here again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. Coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.